So we are looking at, through the book of Jonah, calling it the Battle of the Wills, because I like to use space. Over here, we know the will of God. And we can preach sermons about the will of God, and that God equips us and he gives us strength and he gives us the words, and we know all that. But have you ever wondered, well, what happens if we don't quite measure up? But what we're looking at is the far extreme. What happens if we know that and say no? It's my will be done and not yours. What does God do with us when we stomp our feet and say no? My will be done and not yours. So this is tough preaching a sermon here because I don't want to give you pointers on how to do this. But that's what we're looking at. In chapter 1, as an introduction, we found, well, I wanted to share some statements with you from this famous philosopher who said this: the book of Jonah is a story of a whale and not a whale of a story. We have to see Jonah as truth, because Jesus spoke of Jonah, and Jesus said Jonah was true. If Jonah is not true, then Jesus cannot be the Son of God. So Jonah in the belly of this sea monster is true. And last week we saw some art in the book of Jonah, that the author of Jonah uses some very, very specific words that give us, that enriches the book of Jonah. For example, we saw that Jonah, one of the themes in the book of Jonah is up and down. And so I'll leave that one up to you. But we saw that Jonah went down, went down, went down, went down, and then he fell asleep. But we saw that that word, asleep, came from God. That's the same word that was used with Adam that said that God caused a great sleep to fall on him and a rib was taken. Jonah tried to escape from God by going down, 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 and he couldn't even escape from God in his sleep. Then we saw the word where the merchants in the ship tried to go back to land. And we saw that that word really meant that they tried to return to the seaport of Joppa. God did not want Jonah back at Joppa. God wanted Jonah in the sea. And even when Jonah was totally disobedient, that he tried to run away from God, and that didn't work. He tried to sleep and get away from God, that didn't work. There was a crisis, and he couldn't get away from God from that. And there was a sure thing, and Jonah could not get away from that. Because God's will was salvation. And even when Jonah was totally disobedient, salvation still came to the merchants of the ship. And they threw him into the sea. And the sea became calm, and they believed. Now, Jonah, as being in this sea monster for 3 days and three nights, and then he prays. And last week I said that there's going to be a word in here that's going to change everything, I believe. So for you who believe that this word's going to change everything, hallelujah. For those who say, well, it doesn't mean anything, get your stones out because I'm going to speak heresy. So here we go. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. I just want to read through his prayer. From the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou dost hear my voice. For thou dost cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfs me. All thy breakers and billows pass over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain, and the earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pray. Salvation is from the Lord. Everything sounds great. But then we read, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. I don't know if you guys see the word there. There's a word there that is a theological word. And it's only used by God. And you can find it in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 25. And in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Those are two examples. It's used five times in Holy Scripture. In Jonah, that's the fifth time. So Leviticus chapter 18, verse 25. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have visited its punishment upon it, and so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. Leviticus 20, verse 22. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances, and do them so that the land to which I will bring you will live and not spew you out. That word there means vomit. I went to school in Chicago, and I had to do some Christian service, and I was too shy to say no. They said, why don't you work with some young people? I said, sure, because I was too scared to say no and too shy to say no. And it ended up that I was working with junior gang members of a downtown Chicago complex. It was scary. Okay, I was too young and too foolish to know that it was scary, but it was scary. And one day, these kids came up to me, and they were so excited. They were laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I go, so this is strange. They go, we had the best day in school ever. Because these kids don't have good days in school. I said, so what made it a great day? We had a creative writing class. I'm going, okay, that sounds like torture to me. So what made it the greatest day? They said in our creative writing class, we had to come up with different ways to say vomit. We came up with 27 different ways to say vomit. But guess what? No matter how you say vomit, vomit is still vomit. Right? Whether it's upchuck or lose your cookies. And what does God say? That he vomited Jonah. The word theologically is used when God says, your sin is so great, I can't even stand you. Get out of my sight. I'm going to vomit you out of the land. And God uses that word here. Jonah just prayed. And what was God's response to Jonah's prayer? It made him sick to his stomach. Jonah's prayer made God sick to his stomach. Now, we saw Well, maybe I can run away from the presence of God. Well, that didn't work. Well, maybe I can hide in my sleep. Well, that didn't work. Well, maybe I can say, well, there's a big crisis and I can't do your will, and that didn't work. And maybe a sure thing like death, I can get away from God's will, but that didn't work. So what's Jonah's fifth technique to get away from God's will? I'll try to persuade him elsewhere through my prayers. So how does God deal? Now, this is a tough one because I'm going, okay, well, I did that here. And I don't want to share those stories. Just pretend that I didn't use those techniques in the past as well, or at present. But what does God do when we try to manipulate him through our prayers? What is God's response? Because we know over here, when we're in his will and we pray what Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done, it says that our prayers are a sweet aroma and they sit in front of his throne. Prayers, when we try to manipulate God that says, my will be done, not yours, makes God sick to his stomach. So what is it in Jonah's prayer that God would say, I vomit? Well, for those who are experts in the Old Testament, we know that there is a pattern to pray, that God reveals it six times in the Old Testament, that there is a pattern when you have sinned over here. There is a pattern that is done six times. We're shown it six times in the Old Testament how to pray so that we can get back over there. So what is that pattern? I hope some of you guys have already thought that through. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 36 to 39. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 36 and 39. So here, Solomon is king. He's just completed building the temple, and they are dedicating the temple, and he is praying, and he's offering up sacrifices. And then while he's offering up sacrifices, he prays. And in his prayer, he goes through this cycle five times. He goes, if my people sin by this way, here's how they get back to you. If my people sin this way, here's how they get back to you. If my people sin this way, if my people sin this way, and he does it five times. He gives five different examples. If my people sin, here's how they get back. So let's just look at chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 6, verses 36 to 39. This is the last pattern. This is number 5. When they sin against thee, and thou art angry with them, and dost deliver them to an enemy, so that they take them away captive to a land far off or near, if they take thought in the land where they are taken captive and repent and make supplications to thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly, if they return to thee with all their hearts and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been taken captive, and pray toward their land which thou hast given to their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built for thy name, then hear from heaven, from thy dwelling place, their prayer and supplication, and cause and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people who have sinned against you. So what I would like to do is give you the seven steps of how to get back when we are over here. And then we'll look at Jonah chapter 2 to see how close he is. Step number one is, well, they have to pray. So Jonah did that. They have to turn to God. They have to confess their sins. Number four, they have to repent. Number five, they have to know that the only person who can forgive them is God. And they have to follow God. They have to follow him. And there's a step seven. And I was shocked because I never heard it before. I want to keep it a secret for a little bit because we're going to look at, well, before we look at Psalm 51, all that is summed up by a verse that many, many people know and memorize, and that's 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. But now we have to look at example number six of what is the pattern of their prayer. And that is found in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is written by David after he's repented. David at that time had just sinned with Bathsheba. She became pregnant, killed Bathsheba's husband. So his sin is adultery and murder. And God punishes him. And in after God punishes him, David goes, oh, I need to turn back to God. So I just want to read a couple of verses, the first couple of verses of Psalm 51. You can read through the whole thing and you can see those six steps. And then there's step number seven that's hidden. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy love and kindness, according to thy greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Did Jonah ever say in his prayers, I know my transgressions, I have sinned against thee? Against thee and thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in my sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. David is clearly saying, I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned, and I have sinned, and only you can forgive me. Not once in Jonah's prayer did he say, I have sinned. I have tried to run away from you. Not once. But what's step number seven? What is step number seven? So we know, well, we looked at the first six steps. Oops, lost my page. We looked at the first six steps, which are to pray and to turn to God, to confess sins, to repent, to know that God forgives you and that you need to follow him fully. But what's step number seven? Look with me to Psalm 51, verse 13. For some reason, for 40 years, I've never seen this. Psalm 51, verse 13, step number seven. After all of that, after I have confessed my sins, after I have known that you have forgiven me, after I am following you, step number seven is, then I will treat transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. What's step number seven? It's evangelism. What we're going to find out in Jonah chapter 3 and chapter 4, hint, hint, he does not want to do evangelism. So he cannot pray this prayer because he does not want to evangelize these people. So he can't. But we see that the pattern is when we repent, the natural outflow is evangelism. Well, really? Does Solomon also say that in his five examples of how to get back to God? Well, look with me in example number 4, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, is verses 32 and 33. It says this: after they have confessed their sins and turned to God and have been forgiven and follow God, then he says this: also concerning the foreigners, who is not from thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country, for thy great namesake and thy mighty hand and thine outstretched arms, when they come and pray towards this house, then hear thou from heaven, from thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigners call to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Even Solomon, in his five examples of how to get back to God when you are over here, step number 7, the natural result of praying and repenting and confessing your sins and following God fully is evangelism. Last week I shared a little bit during communion about remember me. That again is a very specific word in verbal context, which means not only remember the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also remember what Jesus has done for me this week. And that by remembering, we are encouraging one another. And by remembering, we are defeating Satan, according to Revelation chapter 12. But guess what we can add to that? By remembering the death and resurrection, guess what the natural out result of that is? Evangelism. And we'll find out that Jonah did not want to evangelize the people. So what did he try to do? Manipulate God through his prayers. And what was God's natural theological position? Was to vomit him out. But what else is there in his prayers that gives us hint to this? Well, again, I like geography, so let's set this up. We have Jerusalem and the temple, okay? And then some miles later, we have Samaria. And then we have the Mediterranean Sea, where Jonah is in this great sea monster or fish. And then we have Nineveh, and God said, go to Nineveh. So let's look at his prayer and see where Jonah's eyes are. Verse 4. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Has he? That's theologically incorrect. Because no matter where he goes, he already knows that, because we saw that in Psalm, where it says, no matter where I go, thou art there. So he's theologically incorrect. Nevertheless, I will look again towards thy holy temple. Where does he want to go? Where does God say for him to go? Oh. Well, maybe God didn't get that. So let's look at verse 7. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came from thee into thy holy temple. Where does he want to go? And where does God want him to go? Oh, okay. Twice. Well, he's a baseball player. which means he gets three strikes. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Where does sacrifice happen? Where does he have to keep his vow? Where does God want him? In Nineveh. So what is God's response? So far, we saw God's response when we tried to manipulate him and say, God, no, 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 my will be done, not yours. God's response makes him sick to his stomach. It vomits him. But is that the end of the story? Does God say, I'm just going to leave you to your wares? What happens here? Because that's what we want to know. What happens when I really, 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 really mess up and say, no, 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 and I'm running and I'm running and I'm running and I'm running and I'm running, and I say, no, 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 to the point that I make God sick to his stomach, but what's God's response? Look with me to chapter 3. God just vomited Jonah. And what happens? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. What? He didn't give up on him? Like I surely would. Okay. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah stomped his feet. Oh, sorry. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' walk. Okay, just to let you know, from the Mediterranean Sea, oh, I put Nineveh over here. So from here to there was a 3 to 4 weeks journey. So Jonah had to pick himself up and do a 3 to 4 week journey. But what's God's response when we make God vomit? That we try to manipulate him by running away, by we try to manipulate him by sleeping in the way, by we try to manipulate him by saying, I can't do that because there's a crisis right now. I can't do your will because there's a crisis. And I can't do it because I'm going to die because that's just impossible. I can't do your will and die at the same time. I can't do it. And besides, I want to be there. I don't want to be there. So I'm going to try to manipulate you through prayer. And God, we make God sick to his stomach. What is God's response? Excuse me, Jonah. You have 2 feet. Start marching. And Jonah goes to Nineveh. I find that incredible, because I'm glad that God is not like me, because I would have given up the first time. Jonah runs away, I'd say, okay, let him go. God doesn't give up. I'm going to go fall asleep and ignore you. God's in his sleep and he can't do that. I would have given up, but God doesn't. In a crisis, in a sure thing, and in his prayers, I would have given up. But isn't it marvelous that when we thoroughly, thoroughly mess up and cause God to be sick to his stomach, that he doesn't give up on us. So what does that tell us when we're just here, where we say, oh, I missed the will of the Lord? Well, God doesn't give up on us. What happens when we're right here? Oh, well, I'm dragging my feet, Lord, to do thy will. Guess what? Because of that, we can say here, God doesn't give up on us. And when we're doing the will of God, God gives us everything we need. We're going to find that even when we are over here and we say, not your will, but my will be done, and I don't want to do it, God still gives us everything we need to do his will. I find that marvelous, that God doesn't give up on me, that no matter how bad I mess up, God doesn't mess up on me. So because we've been talking about prayer and how to mess up in prayer, I want to give you something that's been that hit me this year. You know, some people go, oh, there's a verse that I need to concentrate on this year. This is going to be my year verse. Well, I found one about prayer. I probably think about it 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. Because again, I never heard it before. And I pray this prayer not only for me, but I pray it for our pastors and our deacons and our elders, that they would have this mindset as well. And that is, I'll leave you with this. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel is saying to the people, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And the people are saying, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. And Samuel is saying, don't. And then Samuel says, have I not, don't do this thing. And so finally Samuel says this, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. So let me read that again. That I have sinned against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I never thought of that before. That here is a man of authority, and his job is to bring the people's request to God. He's the intermediator in the Old Testament. And he said, far be it from me that I should sin, not against you, but against God by not praying for you. That is a heavy responsibility, isn't it? That he said that it was sin against God if I didn't pray. And that's been my prayer now for some time, that our churches, our pastors, and our elders would know that their responsibility is to pray for us. And that if they choose not to pray for us, guess what? It's a sin against God not to pray for us. So now when I pray for our pastors and our elders, and I go, okay, Lord, I haven't prayed for our pastors and elders for some time now. Oops, I've sinned against thee because I haven't prayed for them. So I just want to leave that little thing with you. So we saw a little bit, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Jonah. What happens over here? When we try to run and we make God's stomach upset and he vomits us, that he doesn't give up on us. That he still wants his will done. And we're going to find out next Sunday, has Jonah learned his lesson? as he went, okay, got it. God vomited me. Oh, that was disgusting. But he hasn't given up on me. I want to go here, but he says no, so I'm going to go there. Is there still a battle of the wills? So we're going to find that out next week. So next week, battle of the wills. Part 3. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have taught us how to pray. And that we need to pray according to your will, that our hearts and minds and souls and our feet need to be aligned with your will. But Father, we thank you that you do not give up on us even when we stomp our feet and say no. Even when we upset your stomach, you still do not give up on us. Thank you, Father, for being a gracious God. Help us to do your will, to be obedient, I pray, to be obedient with a glad heart, I pray, in Christ's name, amen.